DeclaringTheKingdom.com.
Let's talk about the way. People want to know, how do you walk with God? What group is true? I'm going to tell you, you want to know the way? It's Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's the life. He's the way. He's the truth. Jesus says, come to me. Learn from me. Follow me. We're going to talk about this right now because there's no greater important thing than to know this and to consider the way Jesus lived before the Father. You can pick up your scripture, look at the Greek prayerfully with the Holy Spirit illuminating your mind, giving you a heart to understand. All these things are hid in Jesus. If you want to have understanding, you want to have the truth, everything you need is provided through Jesus. One of the reasons why I want to talk about this is we just had what they call Holy Week. This is a term that came about the 4th century. You know, it's kind of like a movie. Have you ever seen a movie and they say it's based on a true story? Most of the time, the story's been kind of altered a little bit to sell it. And the people that really know the true story say, it had some elements that were true. But now, I don't want to get off the track here. But just realize, you yourself, I myself, have to seek the Lord to know the truth, because there are people that are determined to deceive. And what I noticed was people talking about Jesus, but I could tell by the way they were talking and behaving that they didn't know Jesus at all. In fact, the way they talked about him is like Jesus was a historical act, you know, dying, doing miracles, resurrecting even. But they didn't have him in the here and now. See, Jesus is alive. And the way they refer to him, you'd think Jesus is way out in space somewhere. It wasn't really clear. Didn't really seem apparent that he was in their heart. Or that Jesus is literally their very life. And that's what God's called us to, is repentance from our dead works and our faith in God. And that means we lay down our life completely and we crucify our life and are buried with Christ and risen with him by the glory of the Father, and we walk in newness of life. Now, Jesus is the way. And, you know, I invite you to really consider this and look for yourself and see how Jesus lived. He always did the things that please the Father. Is what he says. I always do the things that please my Father. And therefore, he's not left me alone. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but it's the Father's. Where do people get their doctrine? Well, do they get it from the Father? Do they get it from the Holy Spirit? Paul's a good example of that. He was trained in all the rabbinic schools, Judaism, the man-made religion of the elders and the fathers that took God's commandments and transposed with their words and commandments and doctrines and myths and customs. They deny the Lord by the things they invent. That's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. See, there's a spiritual revelation, illumination on how to be guided by the Holy Spirit. In fact, it says in Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Don't you want to be a son and daughter of God? A child of God? Well, you have to be born again, born from above. This isn't figurative speech. Jesus was literally taught by the Father. He saw, he had revelation, and he heard the Father's voice. Jesus laid down his life. And I just read today in John 10, 17 and 18, that it was a literal commandment from the Father to lay down his life. And it says too, the Father loved him for that willingness, that sacrifice, and all the things that Jesus fulfilled. Okay, so you want to know the way? It's self-denial. It's walking, abiding in the Father. It's abiding in the truth. It's declaring the truth. It's confronting wickedness, all the things that Jesus did. And don't forget this one. Jesus testified that the deeds of the world were evil. Nope, he didn't whitewash it. He wasn't a motivational speaker like we have today with men on stages and taking strands out of the scripture and reweaving it into a smooth, puffy, fuffy message. It's false. It's chaff. It's chaff to the wheat. And the Lord's word is like fire. It's like a hammer. It's like a double-edged sword. It's living. It's powerful. But the man's words, that can't heal you, can't save you, can't deliver you, can't create, can't wash you. So people have to decide, are you really going to walk with Jesus, or are you just going to talk about Jesus? And we see a lot more of people not walking in the way of Jesus. Now we have today people going back to the law of Moses and doing elements out of the law of Moses. They're going back into the flesh. It's a very sad thing. If you walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the law of Moses. That's what it says in Romans 8. God has written his laws in our minds and our hearts. I invite you to study about Jesus, to draw near to him as he is a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And his sheep know his voice. And Jesus will spend all the time you need to share with you, to talk with you. And all he requires is to the degree you hear, he'll give you. And you walk in the truth that he shares with you. If you're faithful in little, he'll give you more. Jesus was talking about following him as a disciple that not only believe on him. There were Pharisees that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. It was undeniable that his miracles and casting out spirits and giving sight to the blind and the things that were prophesied, surely Jesus was doing. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. Oh, it's not just believing or having information in your head. Peter spoke about walking in his steps, suffering, enduring. Paul spoke of the same thing. That he would know Jesus. Now remember, Jesus revealed himself to Paul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, learned in the ways of Judaism. But he counted all that but dung and loss to win the excellency that's in Christ. You know, I appreciate Paul for valuing Jesus. And he said the truth was in Jesus. And he learned, not from the apostles, didn't even meet him for 3 years, didn't even regard that. He was well aware what religion had made of himself, that he trusted in the grace and mercy of God that to reveal his son in him. And he declared the gospel that he was taught and it was revealed to him. See, Paul was receiving the same way that Jesus did. And this is the same way for us as disciples. It's wonderful. The only reason why I'm sharing this is because the Lord himself has given me this through the Holy Spirit. He's showing me. It's not the law of Moses. Jesus went about as led by the Spirit. How he fulfilled the law. And it says the same about us. As we walk in the Spirit, we fulfill the law by faith. We can now see that this is the message to the institutional church system. While there may be varying degrees to somewhat conform to what Jesus teaches, the majority will find out they are not known by Jesus. A true ministry or servant of Jesus Christ will testify of these things. They'll challenge, are you really in the faith? I see that you do this and you do that. I see that you have this group that you affiliate yourself. But do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Are you in fellowship with him? What did he tell you today? Do you love the world? Well, you're his enemy. This is the message to the institutional church system. Are you really walking in the ways of the Lord? And I want to say there may be varying degrees somewhat of conforming. You know, you have some groups that are less horrible as other groups. But we still need to know Jesus. We can know, We can now see this is not the message in the church system. A true ministry of Jesus will testify the truth to you and challenge your state, because God is giving the spiritual eye to evaluate, assess, and to bring perfection to the body of Christ. This is what God is doing. But why do we have epistles or letters from the apostles? Because they were messengers to that body, writing through the Holy Spirit the things that needed to be addressed, like Jesus himself did in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, seven assemblies in Asia. He commands, repent where repentance is due, and change. Be conformed not to this world, but be renewed in your mind and be transformed. Present your body as a sacrifice that you may know the will of God. See? That's what Jesus said. There's going to be many that say, Lord, Lord, but they never did the will of God. It's not those that are saying, Lord, Lord. It's those that are doing the will of God. No, a false ministry will not challenge you in this way. They will not tell you to follow the voice of the Lord. They will not tell you, generally, most likely, they will not tell you to lay down your life. They will not tell you to love Jesus above every other relationship. Parents, siblings, spouse, even children, your children, or your own life, or things you possess. You have to love the Lord above all things, or you're not even worthy of being a disciple. You can't be his disciple, is what he said. So this is very serious, because a false ministry is out to deceive you one way or another. They're false. They're the ones on stages right now that are acting as if they were servants of Christ. Paul spoke of this in 2 Corinthians 11. He says they change shape. They are servants of Satan, acting like a servant of righteousness. You don't be amazed by that, because Satan himself changes shape into an angel of light. So do his servants. But they're wolves wearing sheep's clothing. Deception. I want to say, idolatry and the love for this world do not mix with Jesus. Yet idolatry is rampant in the Roman Catholic system. It spawned the daughters of all the institutional churches. You say, that's terrible to say. Oh, really? Where did Roman Catholicism come from? It came from Judaism. The high priest is the Pope. The chief priests are the cardinals. The rabbis are the priests. And in Protestantism, you call them pastors, because you have titled men exalted over the brethren, which is exactly what Jesus said not to do. So the church system that violates the word of God, come on, let's be scriptural here. It cannot be of the kingdom of God, because it's not subject to the word of God. So you have Roman Catholicism with its idols and its images and its false doctrines and its words of men, just like Israel. Israel was an idolater from this whole history. The Bible's full of their idolatry, and the names of their gods have been inserted now. Stick with what Jesus said. Stick with what Jesus instructed and does instruct, how to address our God, our Father. He's the Lord, he's God, but he did not give him a name in the Greek Septuagint version of the Old Testament. We've talked about these things. Let's talk about the whoredom of the Roman Catholic Church. It spawned daughters, but she herself was created by Judaism, a great harlot. Some of these are greater whores than others. Some are lesser whores than others. And I speak of this system, the isms, as in Judaism. This is what Paul referred to in the Galatians, in the scriptures. Judaism is a man-made system based on taking the word of God and inserting all manner of doctrines, commands, and myths of man. We have to remember, regardless, a whore is a whore. And that is why he calls his true followers out quote, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, unquote. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18 call for the separation from darkness, from unbelievers, from the world, from Belial, which is wickedness, all these things. The true faith in Jesus Christ does not know of any church system as seen in the world today. The true body of Christ is one fold, one flock, one shepherd, Jesus. It's a spiritual house. These are scriptures I'm quoting from. It's a work of God with Jesus in the midst. It is spiritual. It is not made of brick and mortar. It's not incorporated. It's not name branded. It's not run as a corporate business either. The body of Christ is not a denomination, as Paul chided this practice in 1 Corinthians 3. Some say they were of Paul, some were of Cephas, some say they were of Apollos. Is Christ divided? Well, this is the work of men. This is the work of Satan, ladies and gentlemen. I share this with you. Pray about it. God has always kept to himself a small group of isolated individuals, and they're known as a remnant. Whether two, as in Joshua and Caleb, or three, as in Lot and his daughters, or 7,000 in the time of Elijah, or an unknown remnant cited in Isaiah chapter 1. Jesus speaks of few that walk the straight and narrow way that leads to life, but also declares there are many who choose the broad way, the wide gate that leads to destruction. And he says, many will profess, Lord, Lord, to the Lord, as he closes the door upon them. He does not know them, he says. They're workers of lawlessness. They're workers of iniquity. They did many things in his name, they thought. They're rebels, known as the builders that reject the cornerstone. It's written in the scriptures. And they're still building to this day in the church system. God has his own people that are mixed within the harlot system. And that is why his voice calls them out. He says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker with her sins and receive her plagues. That's Revelations 18:4, when God addresses Babylon, the harlot, the mother of abominations. So we're talking today about the way. Jesus is the way. You need to know him. You need to know him spiritually. Have fellowship with him. Fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with the Spirit. It means you're engaging with him. He's speaking to you and you're praying to him. And you're seeking him in secret and he's rewarding you openly. This is the way the Word teaches. So I encourage you to delight in the Lord and see what you can be taught about this. Let the Lord show you how he walked in this world. Because this is how we're to walk, the same. That is what a disciple is. Follow the leader.